Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Racing on America's classic circuit. This is IMSA Radio.
We'll speak to Spencer Pumpelly in a moment. But Rob Ferriol, tell us the good news, please.
Oh, yeah, we've got great news, John. So I'm excited to announce that Spencer and I will be expanding not only our efforts in IMSA, but also our partnership with Audi by launching an Audi R8 LMS GT3 entry in this year's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship GT Daytona class.
That is great news in such a difficult time for everybody, and we know how hard this situation is. It's not just that, though, because you're not going away from Michelin Pilot Challenge either.
We are not. We will be running both cars, double dipping, so to speak.
So, Spencer, that's extra work for you as well. And I've known you long enough to know that, frankly, if I asked you to drive in every single race over the weekend, you'd be absolutely delighted. So you must be really pleased about this.
I am very excited. You know, you're right. I've spent a lot of time doing both the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series and the GTD Series. So this should get me back to normal, at least as much as we can in these days and ages of COVID.
I've got to ask you, Rob, in a situation where so many people are taking a long, hard look at their commitments and potentially even scaling back, why is this, don't get me wrong, I'm not criticising it, but why is this the right time to expand? I know you've harboured some hopes and expectations to get into the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but why now, and what's helped you make that decision?
Well, ironically enough, John, the last 4 months of kind of pandemic shutdown has given us an opportunity to continue maturing our own internal program with the team as well as the GT4 program. And, you know, we had a discussion about this earlier in the season before it got kicked off. And we looked at really targeting 2021 for, a potential move into GTD. But what the shutdown allowed us to do is just to continue refining the team internally, testing, maturing the program, bonding as a team, and really getting procedures in place. So, when the opportunity came up few short weeks ago, it was a pretty quick decision. We took a couple hours to bat it around. He said, we're in a lot different place now than we were 6 months ago. And it's a good opportunity for us, but it's also good for the sport. It's good for the series. It's good for IMSA. Let's get another car out there. We have the unique opportunity to be able to do it. So let's do it.
I'd like to talk to you in a moment, Rob, about Team Hardpoint, which is the team involved here, which is a relatively new entity. But Spencer, if I can come to you for a moment, I've got to say, you two guys going into this and for many weekends doing double duty, we know how competitive Michelin Pilot Challenge is, but it's not as if the GT Daytona category of the WeatherTech Championship is a cakewalk either. That's another shark pool, sir.
Yeah, it definitely is. But, when I met Rob for the first time, he was racing in the Porsche's Cup. And, I hop in and out of these cars a lot, doing all the different coaching and driving that I do. Of all the cars I drive, that's got to be the most difficult car there is to drive. It doesn't have ABS. Yeah. It's very touchy. And Rob was very, very quick in that car to the point where, I'd go through a data lap down in the beginning of the weekend, and a lot of times he would embarrass me come qualifying. So I know he's got the skill and the pace. He got a taste of the GT3 car when we did the International Motorsports game at Vallelunga in Rome back in, I think that was September, which was a lot of fun. So I know he's up to the challenge of the GT3 car. And I think this is a natural progression. The opportunity arose. We've got the team in place. So hopefully this will just continue our, steep ramp up the learning curve here, and we might be able to occasionally find some success.
Oh, I would be very surprised if you two didn't. Twice a runner-up in that Porsche, the IMSA GT3 Cup Challenge by Yokohama, Rob. So clearly everything that Andy's saying is absolutely spot on. You've got a very smooth driving style. Was that International Motorsport Games in Vallelunga, was that in some ways a catalyst for you to take a harder look at the GT3 machinery?
I think it was, you know, and Spencer will tell you, I was probably a little nervous going into it, having not sat in a GT3 car, much less driven one, or, you know, in Europe for that matter. But yeah, it was a good opportunity in a really neat environment to kind of test out the GT3 car. And I really enjoyed it. I think the GT3 car brings together some parallels from, you know, from my experience in the Cup with, you know, kind of the speed and the rawness of the car, but then also brings in some parallels from the GT4. So I think it's a good mix of the two cars.
And tell me about the team, about Hardpoint. It's, as I said, it's relatively new, formed only back in 2018, but clearly stepping up to a two-car program in two separate series. You must have total confidence there.
I do. I have confidence in the guys and girls on the team. You know, that was kind of the very first thing I did when I decided we were going to kind of chart our own path and determine our own outcome, was look at the people involved and bring together the right people that have the right mindset to work as a team. And, you know, drawing on my own experiences in the military, my experience, you know, running a larger company, you know, it's always about the people. So, you know, we looked at that first. That was the first thing we worked out, and then we started bolting everything else together. But yeah, short period of time. No one's ever accused me of being timid, so it's not completely out of the normal. But yeah, we're excited. I think we have the right bones in place, and we're going to use this year to start packing some meat on.
And we should say it's not as if you've been sitting around, Rob, because during this lockdown area, you've started something that I think is a brilliant idea. The non-profit charity looking after weekend warriors, if you will, race crew members who clearly couldn't earn any income in the last 3.5 months. How's that gone?
It's gone really well. I think we're going to pay a couple grants out this week. We're up to about 50 grants that we've paid out since we started this on March 27th.
Good for you.
It's been an extremely rewarding and humbling use of my time the last few months. You know, part of this whole Hardpoint kind of brand system that we've put together is really, you know, it's really about promoting sports car racing and promoting the sport and getting people not just aware of the sport outside of our own community, but getting more people in it and hopefully keeping people in the sport longer. And so, you know, what we did with the foundation is really a natural extension of this philosophy of kind of leaning in to sports car racing, not just in the U.S., but around the world. So I saw, you know, early on when the pandemic hit, you know, we were gearing up, getting ready to go down to Sebring, and it, you know, came to a screeching halt. And, you know, my first reaction obviously is to look internally to Team Hardpoint and make sure that we can, you know, keep everybody whole until it's time to go racing again. But then, you know, I started thinking about the paddock writ large and, you know, the way the race economy works and that structure you mentioned about the weekend warriors. And I said, hey, you know, we've got capacity over here with Hardpoint Outfitters to crank out some apparel. So it started with apparel sales. And then we added in the donation element once the demand started to kick up.
No, it's been absolutely wonderful. And clearly we're not back to full quote-unquote normality yet. So we wish you all the best in that. Let's drag you back to the racing side of things, Spencer. It's not that far away now for the resumption, as it is, of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We're off to Daytona. For what for me looks like the recreation of the old Paul Revere event, 4th of July, Saturday night into the evening, at least, even if it's not into the darkness. That's going to be a very different feel to Daytona than when we're normally there in January?
Well, yeah, the two biggest things are going to be the heat, for sure. That's going to affect the car, the drivers, and the crews that have to, you know, maintain the cars. And then, you know, on top of that, we're going to have new things with the social distancing and some of the protocols of getting in the racetrack and having to wear masks and taking precautions and kind of looking out for each other. And then we'll also be somewhat isolated, too. I don't think we're going to have the free movement about the paddock that we're used to having. But the other thing is, you know, we're going to have a really short weekend. Yeah. It's going to be unload, do one practice, and then spend the day on Saturday getting ready for the race and racing. So it's going to reward those teams that are ready to go and have done some work on the off season during the break here to stay sharp. And if you get rusty at all, you don't have any time to kind of catch up. So we'll be under a lot of pressure. And I think it's, you know, Daytona is a fairly forgiving track. It's six real turns. It's not like, you know, Le Mans where you have 20 fast corners to go through. So hopefully it'll be a nice way to kind of ease back into it. But we have a lot ahead of us for Daytona for sure. And then coming up for Sebring, it'll be our first time we're actually pulling the double duty.
Yes.
And doing both. So we got a little bit of a challenge, but we're ready.
How do you feel, Spencer, about two different versions of the same car? And how do you think, Rob's still faded up, so he might jump in and disagree with you here, but how do you think Rob's going to cope with this? Because when you did the International Motorsport Games, it wasn't, I don't know why it wouldn't be with an Audi, but it wasn't with an Audi. You've been used to GT4 Audis, and jumping in between the two, are there enough differences to remind you and Rob in particular, no disrespect, Rob, but you know, slightly less experience there, remind you both that you're in a different car?
That's a very good question. You know, I don't think I can remember running the same version of a car. I mean, I've done a lot of things, you know, be racing maybe a Cayman one weekend and a 911.
Yes.
In the GTD, but I can't remember the last time or if I ever did this particular version. And I've always said the bigger the differences in the car, the actually easier it is, not yes. the harder, because you're reminded right away that this is a different approach to this corner and the brake point's going to be a lot different. But when the car starts to sound the same, feel the same, you know, the steering wheels feels the same, the visuals look the same, the engine notes the same, it sometimes can be easy to forget which one you're in. And if there's subtle differences in, say, where you brake, it's easy to get it wrong and find yourself going through the weeds. So,
well, the reason I asked that was because the new AMG GT4 borrows a lot of the interior from the GT3, and yet they're very different cars, particularly in the amount of aero and the way you drive them through the corners. Typically, a GT4 is a little bit more momentum through the corners, trying to keep it up, and you haven't got the aero so much. But the GT3s, it's nail the brakes all the way up to the apex and then hammer it back out again. So it can be a completely different driving style.
Yeah, it can be. And I'll let you know exactly how that all works out after I've done it. But here's the thing, you know, with Rob, I always say that the more new cars you drive, the better you get at learning the next one.
Totally.
So learning cars is a learned process. And now Rob's been in several different types of Porsches. He's been in the Ferrari. He's driven the GT4 Audi now. So he's gotten better at adapting. And I think the GT3 car has some advantages for a driver who's unfamiliar.
Yes.
Things happen quickly in it, for sure, which is going to be way different than the GT4 car, where I feel like I'm waiting all the time when I drive it. But it's also very direct, so it's very easy to get the feedback from the car, and I think that'll be to his and my advantage.
And Rob, are you going to have a chance to test before you go to this excruciatingly truncated weekend, where basically you'll roll off the truck, have a chance to have a couple of laps, and then basically be into qualifying in the race? So a bit of testing in the GT3 before then, or does the current circumstances preclude that?
We are working through that now. We would like to, at the very least, get a bit of a shakedown run. We have a test scheduled for the GT4 that was already on the calendar, so we'd like to be able to get the car shaken down at least, you know, once or twice before we show up in Daytona. But we'll see how that goes.
And how has been dealing with Audi Sport Customer Racing in the US, Tristan and the guys from up in DC, how's it been working with them? Obviously, you've got a relationship with them for the GT4.
It's been fantastic. That was a I don't want to say a nervous item of mine when we made the transition into GT4, but you know, coming from a manufacturer that I'd, you know, been involved with and familiar with for a couple of years at that point, moving to a new one was, you know, I had a little bit of anxiety through, you know, through the unknown. But, you know, from day one, even last year when we were just testing the car out in a couple of the Michelin Pilot Challenge races, they have been phenomenal. You know, from Tristan up at the top to Andy and Sean and the engineering team, they've been fantastic. I mean, I think we are in weekly communication and have been all through the off season into this year, the downtime, and then now with the GTD program, that's just, you know, it's just increased that level of support and interaction. So I'm super pleased with Audi and really excited to bring on another car and see how this season goes, and frankly just get the season going.
I think amen from a lot of people to that. Final thought from you, Spencer. Of course, the problem that we've got now, and this is going to happen for all of us on either side of the fence, we've now got to get a season-long's racing into approximately 4.5, maybe five months. And therefore, actually doing what you guys are doing, if you are going to doubling up with the same sanctioning body, is actually probably a really sensible thing to do.
Yeah, it seems like it. Now, keep in mind, I'm also racing in some other series.
So exactly, that's my point.
I don't think my wife is going to see me till mid-November once the season gets started again. And of course, you can't bring the kids to the races anymore either because of the limitations on entries. So it'll be tough away from the track, I think. I think this is going to be a tough season for everyone in a lot of ways. But I think, you know, after 2-3 months of not racing, there's going to be nothing better than getting back into it and getting ready to mix it up. And you know, to do it with someone like Rob and our team, the guys that we have together, makes me really excited and eager to get back on track and get going.
Thank you very much for joining us, Spencer. Rob, I can only doff me cap to you. You have tackled your motor racing ever since I've seen you in a very structured and might I say, sensible way. I think everybody would agree, and Jeremy and I have talked about you on the broadcast. You'll have heard it about the improvement in your driving has been extraordinary. We wish you the best. You're doing something and representing an awful lot of people who would do exactly the same as you if they had the opportunity and a modicum of your talent. Well done for bringing us some good news. Spencer Pumpelly, Rob Furriel, thanks for joining us, mate.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.